Can two common ICU treatments actually do more harm than good? Find out about this and more in today's PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. I'm your host, Senior VP Medical Director, Dr. Tim Wright, coming to you once again from the Pioneer Valley in Western Massachusetts. Here are today's stories. One of the most common supportive treatments used in the intensive care unit may be ready for retirement. Investigators reporting the New England Journal of Medicine conducted the MARCH trial, a randomized study involving nearly 2,000 mechanically ventilated patients across 71 hospitals in the United Kingdom. Researchers evaluated two commonly used mucoactive therapies, carbocysteine and nebulized hypertonic saline, to determine whether they could shorten the duration of mechanical ventilation or improve recovery. Neither treatment reduced time on the ventilator or improved important clinical outcomes. Instead, both therapies were associated with adverse events including bronchospasm, gastrointestinal bleeding, and episodes of hypoxemia. For decades, these agents have been widely used despite limited evidence supporting their effectiveness. This trial proves some of the strongest randomized evidence to date suggesting that routine administration offers little benefit and may expose critically ill patients to unnecessary risk. In our next story, we learn that the choice between a GLP-1 receptor agonist and an SGLT2 inhibitor for patients with both atrial fibrillation and type 2 diabetes may be coming a little clearer. Researchers analyzed health records for more than 36,000 matched patients across 108 U.S. health systems, comparing outcomes among individuals initiating either a GLP-1 receptor agonist or SGLT2 inhibitor. After 1 year, patients receiving GLP-1 therapy experienced a 36% lower risk of all-cause mortality, fewer hospitalizations, fewer major cardiovascular events, and were less likely to require atrial fibrillation procedures, including cardioversion or ablation. The investigators emphasized that SGLT2 inhibitors remain the preferred option for many patients with heart failure or chronic kidney disease. Nevertheless, these findings raise an important clinical question about whether atrial fibrillation itself should increasingly influence medication selection in patients with type 2 diabetes. Additional prospective studies will be needed before treatment guidelines change, but this study provides compelling comparative effectiveness data for an increasingly common patient population. And finally, a new blood test may help answer one of Alzheimer's disease's most important unanswered questions, not simply who has Alzheimer's pathology, but who is likely to develop symptoms in the near future. Investigators publishing in Nature Medicine identified a panel of 34 circulating circular RNAs that predicted progression from preclinical Alzheimer's disease to symptomatic disease more accurately than the current leading blood biomarker p-tau-T17. Unlike amyloid biomarkers, which may become abnormal decades before symptoms appear, these RNA markers appear to diverge approximately 2 to 4 years before cognitive decline, potentially providing clinicians with a much more clinically relevant window for intervention. While additional validation and commercial assay development are still underway, the findings could eventually improve patient selection for disease-modifying therapies and clinical trials, while providing physicians with a more precise estimate of when cognitive symptoms are likely to emerge. And that's today's medical news. Thank you for joining this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PeerDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@PeerDirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to Sean Mullen, Norm Dion, and Bryce Sedi for production assistance. Join me next time for the episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.